Steam locomotives were some of the most powerful machines ever built. They pulled trains that fueled our imagination. They represented vision, collaboration, ingenuity, customer service, and extraordinary human achievement. But in order to get to their destination, it took someone guiding them through a series of switches in order to get to the main line. Just like leaders today, it takes someone directing them down the right path in order to get to their destination. Welcome to Mainline Executive Coaching ACT, which stands for and Cultural Transformation, hosted by Master Certified Intelligent Leadership Executive Coaches Michael Bailey and Rich Barron. With over 50 years of successful cultural transformation and quantum leadership development between them. Once again, thanks for joining us and enjoy today's show.
Here we go again, Mainline Executive Coaching, ACT. Thank you for joining us. Leaders, how are you doing? How's the leadership going? How's the assignments? How's the team doing? These are important things because that leads to ACT and cultural transformation. Yeah. That's what we're looking at here. And how's it going on you? How are things wearing on you? You feeling motivated? Are you eager to get up every day? Are you feeling like I'm ready for it, ready to go at it again, tackle it, make it happen again? Or do you find yourself dragging a little bit? That can be happening here, especially with all the strange things that are going on in the world and our culture today. So we want to talk about, well, what is it exactly we want to talk about?
I think lack of planning or lack of action, I think since we're calling this action, lack of action resulting in implementing your own obsolescence.
Obsolescence, aren't we? And we usually think about that in terms of planning an organization of a product or services, but we never think about it in ourselves. Are we doing that to ourselves, planned or unintentional obsolescence of our position, of we ourselves in leadership positions? Yep. And this is really a big thing because we know we talked about the statistics many times before. Let's talk about what kind of happens in terms of that just taking place. There's certain things, there's actually some key traits, key behaviors that start getting you in that place. First thing is most people don't think about it. They don't want to, they're not planning to go there, but they do go there. And one of the things we know is they tend to have a closed mind. But they don't think they do. They actually think they're very open-minded.
I'm good to go. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm just fine.
Well, let's talk a little about that. What's this? Why would people think that they have an open mind when in fact their mind shift is really about, I already know it. I'm good to go, like you said.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that has to do with that vulnerability decision, that choice to be honest with yourself, choice to really open up and take a good assessment, self-assessment, a good self-inventory that you can look at and determine what kind of skills have I really got. And even a harder look at maybe some of the things that are going on in your life, such as, are you burned out? Are you burned out from work? Are you overstressed from work? Are you taking work home with you? And I'm not talking just once in a while, because that's going to happen. We've all had projects we got to work on. We've all got people at work we're concerned about, whatever that may be. But if you find yourself day in, day out, weekends, nights, keeping you up at night, that this stress, that this concerns about work, this these feelings of inadequacy, I'm not adequate enough, I'm not cut out to be this in this position, I'm in over my head type thing. You know, that can not only take a serious health toll, Michael, but it takes a toll on everybody around you. And if you're starting to see these symptoms, then, you know, that's what we're talking about today. You know, are you inadvertently or planning your own obsolescence, implementing that your own obsolescence? And it doesn't have to be intentional. It's not intentional, but you may
reactive is what it is.
Reactive, absolutely.
And you have to also include in that what may be going on at home. if you got a lot of stresses going on at home,
yep,
and you got a lot of stresses going on at work, man, where do you go to find any kind of peace, any kind
where
of solace,
a
place to clear your mind up? So what that does is, what it looks like is, you know, I got it all handled, but that's pretentious. You're just putting on. But underneath it, what you're really doing is you're just buckling down for the storm, and you're just, there's a great, it's a fear of change. I can barely handle what I got going on now. How could I possibly handle any kind of change?
Yeah.
Which leads into the second thing is you're just doing things the way you've always done it.
Right.
You're not looking at possibilities, you know, ways to innovate, create new possibilities with new vendors or processes or whatever it may be. Yeah. So you're just buckled down to keep doing what it is that you're doing. That just reinforces the fact that you think you got it together.
Yeah. And part of that too is that thinking big, you know, think big. And when you think that, you know, that's part of what John Matone learned from Steve Jobs. And Steve Jobs told us all, think big, think different. Get out there and do something. And that doesn't just apply to our work. That applies to us every day in our daily lives as well. What can we do in our lives that's different, that's going to enrich who we are? And so, you know, who do we see this happening to, Michael? I mean, is there a specific group of leaders that we see this happening in?
I think this is going to be people probably in their 40s to 50s, 55s kind of stuff. Oftentimes that top C-level leadership that can happen because, again, they're kind of gotten there and they paid their dues and all that kind of stuff. And then, but they forget to keep learning. I mean, you got to ask yourself, leaders, when was the last time you picked up a book about leadership? When did you pick up a book about culture? When did you pick up a book about how to improve the team? When did you ever, have you done anything like that in a serious way? Maybe you picked it up, maybe you read it, maybe you didn't.
Yeah. You know? So listen to it on Audible on, you know, as you're going to work and distracted. You know, I gosh, Michael, I'll tell you what, I like to listen to books on tape, on Audible, but there are certain times I cannot do that because I'm distracted. And pretty soon a whole chapter's gone by and I'm like, what do you say?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So it's very easy to get into that kind of a thing, just becoming distracted, preoccupied. So you're really not paying attention kind of a thing. So yeah, you can have it on your mind. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get around to it. But until you actually do it and get into it, you're probably not, and therefore nothing's really going to change. And that then leads to an outcome where, just as you were saying, if you're not really paying attention to how you're growing, if you're not really paying attention to how your company or your team is growing, then it is actually impossible, and it becomes kind of a self-deception to think as you look into the future, you got it handled, when in fact you do not have it handled. You've not taken the time to really assess the marketplace, assess your processes, assess the organization, assess your team members. You're really not taking the time to do that. So if you've not done that, how could you possibly ever really make a judgment or some vision about the future if you've not done any of that work in the back? You know, you got to do the back work, the backstory stuff.
Yeah.
You got to do all that. Otherwise, you've got nothing to bring forth. That's one of the things we've talked about. Leaders in today's organizations often do not give themselves time to do the homework, to take it to the team, know how to get things organized, strategize, get the team excited, you know, get the team working at a higher creative level, in a more innovative level. They have not done the homework. And see, here's the sad thing about it, Rich. If the leader does not do the homework, then who are they likely to blame? Oftentimes, they blame the team.
The team, absolutely.
Or they can turn it on themselves, and now they start eating themselves up on it.
Yeah.
And then that causes that internal burnout, exhaustion, and I'm just tired. I can't keep up with it. And, you know, and I become cynical because everything kind of sucks and all that kind of stuff. And then you just feel like you just collapse, and I just don't feel like I got it anyway. I don't have anything.
Right. So you mentioned an article that you read, Michael, and you mentioned there were three key components to that.
Yeah. Yep. That's what I just went through. This idea of exhaustion.
Yes.
The exhaustion, if you take a look at exhaustion, it's a real interesting notion. Are you exhausted because of stress and worry and because you just haven't gotten the skills that's required? We talked about earlier, if you want a leadership position, have you really prepared yourself to take on that leadership position? What we know is that 75% of the time, the answer is no. So if you happen to think
are global, that's global numbers too. That's global numbers. And those are proven statistics.
That's right. And those are pretty much, they turn up year after year after year after year. So part of that whole deal is, if you think that you have prepared yourself, if you're just going, yeah, I got that analytics good, I'm all good on that. If you think that, all right, cool. Let's give you a little challenge here. Sit down right now, get out a piece of paper, a pen, a pencil. You write down what exactly you have done to prepare yourself for leadership roles. What classes have you taken? What kind of coaching have you done? What kind of mentoring have you done? What kind of books have you read? What exactly is the study, the energy that you have put into understanding what leadership is all about, not just in your industry? Now, I want to make a distinction here. There's industry kind of leadership stuff, but then there's leadership stuff. Industry leadership stuff is more about being a manager.
Yes.
You need
knowing your job.
You need that stuff. Yeah. However, leadership is a whole other level on top of that. Yeah. So if you're going to tell me about all the certificates that you got, and you did this, and you did that, that's really about management. That is not leadership. Leadership is a whole other gig. And if you can't sit down and say, on leadership, if you can't do that, then you probably have it. Now, if you think you have, and you made that list, go show it to someone else. Go show it to another leader, somebody who's really into leadership. Maybe it's somebody in another organization, somebody in this organization that you're already working with. Go show it to somebody who's got real leadership experience and get their feedback.
Agreed. That's that self-inventory, self-assessment. Mm-hmm. And that takes some honesty. It takes
huge honesty.
Huge honesty with yourself, And that's that vulnerability decision. It's not easy, but it's necessary. Right. You know,
go on.
No, I was just going to say, you know, and you mentioned something that's very important, not just with leadership, with your ability to do your job. You know, we see some people that are, and we talked about someone and talked with someone recently that gained these titles, title after title, and it looked like they're really moving up the ladder pretty quickly. You know, but it was if you stopped and you really look at this person's resume. It was a quick change from title to title to title going up the ladder. And suddenly they hit a point that all of a sudden, my heck, I've come up to these titles, got all this great accolades, whatever that may be, and realize I have no clue what I'm doing. I hit that Peter principle.
Right. So if you're feeling exhausted, that was our first point. It could be a good indicator that you don't have the preparation in place to be a lead. Now, part of it may be your organization may be expecting unreasonable performance from you, which then requires leadership skills to go and talk to them.
Yes. Yeah.
You've got to have those skills. Now, if you have got the leadership skills to talk up to the organization and communicate to them, that's not always an easy thing. Knowing how to talk to those people in the positions they are, it's a whole different kind of talk that you really got to learn, other than what you do well in your profession. If you don't have that, what happens is they don't listen to you. They don't pay attention to you.
Yes.
And often they are not necessarily good listeners or communicators. They're good at running the organization, but that does not mean that they're good at listening and communicating.
Yeah.
So you've got to be even better at communicating than they are, to be honest. If you are not, that leads you to become cynical. You become cynical because you don't feel like they're paying attention. They're not listening to you.
Right.
They're not valuing you. They don't see the contribution that you're making. So you become a little internalized, bitter and angry about it, and resentful, which is kind of natural. But if you let that fester, that is not going to go to a good place. Let's talk about that for a little bit.
You know, we've worked with people that are the same way that you just mentioned. That goes two ways too, Michael. We've got some CEOs that we've worked with that had the same problem with, how do I communicate down? I'm here. I've got this position. I've been, I know my business. I know my company. I know what I'm supposed to do at my job, but I can't talk. How do I really talk to people? How do I really lead the people below me? And so that goes two ways. There's that burnout factor too, both ways. We've worked with people that know what to do. They know they can talk a great talk through what they're supposed to do with implementing something. Got a great idea. This is how I would implement it down the line. But time and time again, they've been shut down. Someone, they'll take that idea to whoever and it's pushback. I don't think we're going to do that. Time and time and time again. And that is where that cynicism comes from.
And that's where you really got to take a look at, is who I am, what excites me and gives me joy and fulfillment. Is it actually aligning with the organization itself? And you may look that way from the outside, but once you start getting in and actually having that play back and forth with each other and discussing and looking at and working out in the meetings and all that kind of stuff, all that planning stuff and execution of that, if that connection is not happening there, good message for you to pick up is you're out of alignment with that organization. Because there's people that are very effective at communicating, but you just get that door slammed again and again in your face.
Yeah.
They're not paying attention. They don't, if they, you feel like they don't care, they don't care. That's the big message.
That's the message. Yeah. Yeah. That's the message. We got
to stop talking to people that don't listen to you. Because otherwise, if you keep trying to do that, what you end up doing is you start internalizing it oftentimes. And you, as you said earlier, start feeling inadequate. I don't have what it takes. And then you turn on yourself. And now you're eating yourself up.
Yeah. And here's the other side of that, Michael. If you're one of those organizations out there that have been doing that to your employees, not listening, not taking their advice, not taking, having them come to you. And it, even if they've stopped coming to you and you're going, how come our employees don't talk to us anymore? You know, but we've got a great culture. Our culture is wonderful, but our employees don't talk to us anymore. I wonder what's going on. Yeah.
Maybe they're just too busy being happy.
Too busy being happy. Job. But I'll tell you what, again, there's that cultural deficit, whatever that may be. You don't have culture in place if you don't have employees coming to you, being engaged, giving ideas, being excited about what's going on. If you've seen a stop in that, chances are this you are have put that ceiling on your people, and they're bouncing up against it, and pretty soon, you know, you're going to really start seeing that burnout, that exhaustion.
Yeah, from everybody.
Yeah,
from the whole organization. That's the thing. Your whole organization gets tired. They get worn down. They get stressed out. They're not excited to come to work, just like you're not excited to come to work.
Right.
The whole thing just becomes this general malaise there in the organization. Yeah. So the thing to do is to start looking at what makes me happy. What makes me happy in my role as a leader. And if you really, again, write it down, buddies. Write it down, guys. Write it down and say, what actually makes me happy? And if you're not coming up with a real list of stuff that gets you excited, once you get, you know, get out of bed, get to work, make this thing happen, then it's time to have a real talk. And maybe even time to start doing some other things.
Yep.
And see, part of what we said here is this. If you keep doing things the way that you've always been doing them and expect different results, that's that mindset of just, I'm fixed. I don't have a growth mindset. But if you see that and you don't know how to get out of it, time to get some help. Go outside of your usual people that you visit with, talk to your usual go-to places.
Yeah.
Come to see us. Come and talk to us. You know, we talk about this MLEI, and people probably go, hey, again, the MLEI, what's the MLEI, all that kind of stuff. But here's what we know about it, folks. If you want to get to that next level of leadership, but you keep banging up against it because you feel like the door is locked, the door is closed, it's just not available to you. Guess what we have? We've got the key to the lock. We can get you the key. The MLEI is the key that shows you what you're great at, what you're not so great at, what you thought you were great at, but maybe not so much. Maybe what you didn't realize you were great at and you never really took a look at it, but you actually are pretty great at this.
Yeah.
I mean, it just unpacks the whole thing to give you a whole new paradigm. There's that word paradigm. Everybody's using the word paradigm. How about paradigm about your leadership, what you're great at, your natural talents, and your confidence?
Yeah.
Whole new paradigm, folks. It is, whenever we've given this, we've never failed to have that paradigm shift. So that's why we keep talking about
And here's
the next level of leadership.
One thing that we can guarantee, 100% we can guarantee this. If you do this MLEI, you take this assessment with us and you talk to us about your results, you will never look at another assessment or leadership development the same way ever again.
Or even leadership itself.
Yeah, it will change your mindset. There's a reason why Steve Jobs, even in the closing days of his life, when he took the MLEI, he took the MLEI towards the end of his life. He'd already been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And a lot of his comments to John were, I wish I had known this earlier in my life. I wish I had taken this earlier in my life because my direction in leadership would have been completely different.
Yeah.
That comes from Steve Jobs. We all look at Steve as a great leader. You know, he transformed after 15 years, came back and transformed Apple. You know, the think different, think big. And he did. He wanted to leave a legacy. And so that's why he worked with John. And so there are over 12,000 leaders in this database that have taken this same assessment. Some very well-known heads of state, corporate leaders, you name it. You know, a lot of people we know, but it's here for you. Are you
ready? The question is this. Here's the question. Why would you not want to know what your real great strengths are? I know there's all sorts of strengths finder. They're great stuff like that.
They're great.
But we're talking in the context of leadership working. Why would you not want to know? Why would you, if you're going to fly a plane, why would you not want to know how to fly the plane? Or better yet, if you're going to fly a jet or a rocket, why would you not want to show, you know, how to fly that? So that's our invitation. We got to wrap it up here with the end of the 20. So how do they get a hold of us, Rich?
Executive Leaders Act, ILEC.com. You can, on our podcast, there's information at the end if you're reading our podcast, or just email us, mbailey@intelligentleadershipec.com, rbaron@intelligentleadershipec.com. It's pretty simple. How many emails do you send out a day? Send us one.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. And again, towards the end of this, don't be your own worst enemy in your personal implementation of obsolescence. Just don't. There's enough factors working against you already, working against all of us. And so don't be one of those.
Be not the obsolescent one.
Yeah.
Not that.
Yep. Okay.
Hey, let's give a shout out. Manteca, California. Manteca. I think that's how it's pronounced. Manteca, California. It looks like it's about 50 miles or so, maybe a little bit more outside of the Bay Area.
Outstanding. Welcome to the Mainline Executive ACT family.
All right. All the best.
All right. All the best. Take care of each other, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Leaders lead well.
With all of the issues facing leaders and organizations today, you need executive coaching more than ever. Go to our websites, richbaronexecutivecoaching.com or michaelbailey.com. You can also find us both on LinkedIn. Reach out to us and let's sit down and find out just how bright your future can be with executive coaching. We'd also like to thank all of our supporters in over 60 countries and 600 cities worldwide who have helped to make us one of the top executive coaching podcasts in the world. From Rich Baron and Michael Bailey, this is Mainline Executive Coaching ACT. Thank you and take care.